Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast.
That doesn't have an intro and never will. We haven't recorded remotely for so long.
It feels weird.
It feels weird. I like didn't even know where my mic was. I was like, fuck. We found it.
Did you do anything for International Fragrance Day?
No, Sable, I didn't. I have a life. Also, like, every day is International Fragrance Day to us. You know what I mean? Get out of here with that. But I celebrate everyone who celebrates it. I lift them up. Yeah, there's just something about it. I'm like, leave it alone.
I think because we know that all these days are like made up marketing holidays.
Sure.
But I feel like every year people get more and more intense about it.
More and more intense about it. And you know what? Like, we love any reason to celebrate everything. I don't mean to be a bitch about it. I don't know why. It's such an eye roll to me, the co-host of a scent podcast. But no, I thought it was cool to see, not to be like brands, but there were a couple brands who did activate around National Fragrance Day week, whatever. And I thought that was cool. You know what I mean? Like, if someone's going to do it, might as well be them. So yeah, I hope everyone had a great, fruitful fragrance week.
The one thing I will say that I did want to do but didn't, and they don't do this just for this, but Alloria hosts, and you sent this to me.
Yeah.
They have a tiramisu pop-up every once in a blue moon with Jamesy, who's a cook and a food influencer. And he does these different kind of Asian-themed tiramisu flavors. And every fucking time they host it, it's sold out in an instant.
Mm.
Point where I'm like, I don't even bother going because I'm like, I'm not going to drag my ass to Soho just to not get cake.
I would drag my ass to Soho for anything, but I feel you. I feel you.
Mostly I'm just happy for them that I'm like, this is awesome for you guys, but I'm I don't like waiting in lines. I'm sorry. Potentially not get cake. That's the thing.
No.
Guaranteed cake, maybe, but...
No, I saw that and they were so colorful that I thought it was like soap. And like, I was like, oh, that's
too recent. Time, please.
Wait, did you didn't do anything for National Fragrance Day?
No, I didn't. But the day prior, I went to visit Euro Perfumes HQ.
Oh my God, I am so jealous. I had to email them today about something. I was like, sorry, I ignored your original email. Tell me about that.
It was really cute. They invited a couple like people in the fragrance community to the offices in New Jersey. It was like the most nauseating Uber ride both ways. I don't know what it is.
Really?
I feel like when Uber drivers see it's a long distance ride, they're like, we got to get this going. I got to like...
Yeah.
Get people in and out of cars here. So they puke on it there. And I'm just like, sir, if you're not going to like if I puke in your car, so please.
Slow down.
Stop riding the brakes the whole time. But it was really cute to go see the office. They also gave us a tour of the warehouse. It's massive. Euro Parfums. Is it Parfums or Perfumes? I feel like it's...
I think it's Parfums.
Yeah. I've seen it said both ways, weirdly. But they are one of the bigger U.S. distributors of like luxury niche European brands. They have a couple of our favorite brands, Mathieu Premier, Montel, Mancera, Maison Francis Kurkdjian. They got a lot of stuff there. But we basically just hung out in their office and like they showed us all the new launches, which was really cool.
That's so cool. Did you meet Emma?
Emma wasn't there that day. No, but I met Sophia. She's super sweet. And Vikan Arslanian, who's like the CEO, he like popped in for a sec.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize he was the CEO.
Yeah.
That threads some needles for me.
I also didn't realize that, I don't know if it's him or Euro Parfums in general that also owns Twisted Lily, which is like...
I don't know what that is.
It's like the scent bar, their niche boutique.
Are they here?
I think they're based in the city.
Oh.
Yeah. They were like scent bar before scent bar, I think.
Okay.
They just started a scent podcast, by the way.
They did? Oh, well, there's room for everyone. I wish I could have gone...
What was interesting is that I, for the first time, got to smell a lot of the Roja fragrances, R-O-J-A.
Oh.
In my head, I've been saying like Roja.
Yeah.
Oops. And number one, they're insanely expensive. I did not know that. They're like,
yeah.
Like a 100 milliliter bottle is like $1,000, which I was like,
Jesus.
Like that expensive. And they have these really like like gem encrusted caps on all their bottles.
Okay.
And one of the ladies who works at Euro Parfums was telling me that she's like kind of the trainer for Roja. And when she goes to the stores, they were like saying how some people come in and steal the caps off the testers.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? It's a cap. Like, why?
Very you behavior.
She's like, I've seen them on eBay for $90.
That's insane.
No, it's crazy. I think originally they were like Swarovski crystals. I don't know what they are now, but they're like chunky gemstones. But I'm like, how funny to steal a perfume cap and try to hawk it on eBay. What to do with it?
That's petty.
That is petty.
That's awesome. I really want to get out there.
We're invited anytime.
We'll be seeing them soon. I had to email them today because I fell in love with the fragrance over the weekend, and I'm going to butcher this name. The brand is called Zerjoff, Xerjoff. And the scent is called Naxos, Naxos. It is just stunning. It's this beautiful, warm, like tonka, honey, vanilla, tobacco moment. I'm not wearing it, but it's like bergamot, lemon, lavender, cinnamon, cashmere, tobacco, tonka, and vanilla. It is so gorgeous. So I searched my little inbox today to see if anyone had ever dropped that name, and only one person had, and it was Emma like 4 years ago. So I hopped in and I was like, hey girl, and she still has them. So
Zerjoff really popped off on fragrance talk. I feel like talk really made it a thing there because they're like another super luxury brand. And the fact that they're being name dropped left and right, I was like, of course.
These aren't insanely expensive, but they look it, and they're not cheap.
Euro Parfums, they sent everybody home with little goodie bags of their new launches. And they sent me home with one Zerjoff. They're like, they partner with this like tennis ornament called Nito, and they do a scent for it every year. It's called, this is the Torino 24.
Okay.
It's inspired by something going on in like the tennis culture. So this is the rubber of tennis balls and like the little cocktails they make, the Aperol spritzes, and it's just funny. I mean, it's like a very pleasantly fresh green zesty scent. It's like a nice soft citrus, but I just, it's so funny. They're like every year they make a new tennis scent.
That great.
This is like one of those like very moneyed sports where
Sure.
people buy box seats and it's like a whole like social thing. I don't get that because I don't watch sports, but
Yeah, same.
how funny to go to a tennis game and be like, oh yes, let me buy this very expensive perfume.
I could see it though.
Yeah, it's things like this that remind me. I'm like, oh, this is how I know I'm poor, because I don't even it's it doesn't even occur to me that this would exist.
It's okay. We're here to learn.
We are here to learn.
I also fell in love with another scent this weekend. I was lurking around at Stell, and I know I'm like the last person to on Earth to discover this, but I really was taken by French poetry from Saint Rose.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's gorgeous. It's so beautiful. It's like warm and enveloping and not like cashmere, like musky kind of. It's so beautiful. So I need to track that one down. I've been ignoring them because I keep hearing, when people say Saint Rose, I keep hearing Henry Rose, and I'm like, fuck that brand.
You had such like a visceral reaction to them, and I was like, okay. And then I realized you're like, oh, it's because you thought it was Henry Rose.
For the entire time I've been hearing about Saint Rose, I'm like, ne no, their scents suck. I don't know why I'm being such a bitch tonight. I'm hungry. I'm sorry. But no, yeah. So I need to smell French poetry again.
She's so lovely, but I really, out of the blue, I think sense, which is, it's like a creamy, chewy. It's hard to explain, but it's almost like a one of those like sweet cashmere musky scents, but it's
Ooh.
got like this like chewy texture to it that's so nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're great. I also went to Stell this weekend, but it was just to restock my perfume.
Because she's successful.
Hanging off the shelves, not off my website, but off the shelves of Stell.
Hey. No, they were talking to me on Saturday when I went in, and they were out in Soho. But they said a lot of people come in because they love the podcast. A lot of people come in because they love you. But also, like, people who aren't aware of our global success, they'll just stumble across it in the store and be like, fall in love with it organically, which is great. Yeah, the guys at Soho were like, Smell You Later should do a fragrance, or you and Sable should do your own as a set.
On whose dime?
It's not the money of it all. Sorry, that was sounded idiotic. It's the idea of being responsible for all these bottles of fragrance. You know what I mean? I would really like to go through the process that you did. I just don't know that I, because we don't want to start a brand,
Well.
question mark. But yeah, that's what's keeping me away from it. It's if realistically we could sustain it and sell through in a year, like no big deal, or less than that. But I don't want to sit on any fucking product. I want to be Kylie Jenner with those lip kits in 2016. Just liquidate me.
And I didn't realize this until I was doing it. And like Joey, my perfumer, he was just like, do you have a distributor? Do you have a warehouse? Do you have? And I was like, what?
There's just so much about it, like, that I just don't know on the business side. And I'm like, ugh,
yeah,
I don't know, man.
It's okay.
It's okay. One day we'll see.
We're gonna do Ascent. We just want to do it in a way that's not gonna keep me up at night like everything else does.
Einan, what do you smell like today?
I was making salad dressing before I rushed in to record this, so I smell like anchovies, garlic, parsley, olive oil, salt, and it like won't come off me because of course I did spray it all over myself. But before that, I smelled and also still smell like the new Philosophy Fresh Cream Soft Velvet.
Is that a flanker?
It is a new flanker of Fresh Cream. So as a quick review, I did a lot of copywriting for Philosophy for the better part of 3 years pretty recently, but I don't love a lot of their scents. However, Fresh Cream I love. And the original Fresh Cream is just a really warm, actually skin-like, again, sweet, cashmere, musky fragrance. And I don't really like things that are musky at all, but this one I just love, 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 love. And it's funny because I told that to them a few years back and they're like, it's funny you say that because no one else does and we're going to discontinue it. And I was like, oh, can you not? So I don't know where this flanker came from because it is on my body, but apparently they decided not to discontinue it and make more. Philosophy Fresh Cream Soft Velvet is the base idea of Fresh Cream that features, pardon me, creamy vanilla, rich chocolate, and Casablanca lily. So pretty simplistic, I would say, but it's nice. Definitely has the heart of Fresh Cream, but when you combine chocolate and vanilla, I feel like it gives this springy, buoyant sweetness to a fragrance that is hard to get anywhere else because it doesn't really smell. It's hard to pull the chocolate out of it, but you get this sort of chocolate vanilla twist vibe that adds a little bit of bounce and not even a confectionery sweetness, but almost like a nice, creamy, rubbery sweetness, if that makes any goddamn sense. And then there's that little bit of lily in there too. And I don't like florals, but I love lily. So I was happy to see it in here. It's really nice. I think I probably like the original Fresh Cream more still, but this is a really cool interpretation of it. I didn't think, if you were to tell me, okay, Philosophy is going to do another Fresh Cream in 2025, what would it be? I would say they'll probably do like a spicy floral or a jasmine sambac or the Baccarat Rouge-ification of Fresh Cream. And they didn't. Not a lot of people are doing weird floral gourmand versions of flankers right now. So I love it. I was really excited to see it show up at my door. So shout out to Philosophy.
Okay, Philosophy. That scent in the whole body line, or is it just Eau de Parfum?
Probably not. Fresh Cream is in the body line. And actually, also oddly, that In Good Hands hand cream that I worked on, they put that out unscented and in Fresh Cream, which I was equally as surprised about because they were going to chop it a few years back. I guess it's back.
Okay.
It does make me wonder how many of their scents are floral and like classic florals. And when they're not, they're fruity florals. But since gourmands have been indexing so high, was that their answer to it? I don't know.
So I'm still waiting for the philosophy, the philosophy. I don't know. I feel like the 2000s nostalgia and like philosophy is bound to come up.
Yeah, that it's like they have those mom fragrances and then they have all of those super sweet body washes.
Right.
And it's like one of the two.
Come on, like body's so hot right now. So
body's so hot right now. I'm going to say this on my mother's behalf. Philosophy, please bring back the cinnamon red hot body wash. We need that.
Sounds vile.
It sounds delicious. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I smell like my little sample of Roja Lost in Paris.
Ooh.
My little sample, 10 milliliter atomizer, which is like $125. When I tell you, oh my God, I'm looking at the website now and a 100 milliliter bottle is $1,300. So,
oh my God.
But this is such a, to me, like weird, unique scent because it's billed as a gourmand, but what I get off the rip is like bitter citrus. Mm-hmm. And they do call out bitter orange, like off the top, but then there's like rum, Grand Marnier, caramelized sugar, butter, caramel, And then like at the bottom, it's like pink pepper, clove, cashmere wood, vanilla, ambergris, and musk.
Wait, that sounds fucking good.
And they sent us home with these because this is one of their best sellers, which makes sense. But as far as gourmands go, it's really weird. But I like it because I feel like it's a very angular gourmand.
Ooh.
I think the bitter citrus gives it this like edge, but then the boozy notes of it make it, the boozy notes with the sweet, the sugar and the caramel and the butter, you would think would make it more like desserty. But I think something about, you know how alcohol has this, I don't know how to describe it, but like a tang. There's like a tanginess to it or something.
Yeah. Yes, Sable. I love drinking.
But I feel like that makes it into something that's like more unexpected and angular. And it gives it these like textural facets that you don't find in a lot of gourmands. And it makes it really complex. But nice scent.
That sounds so, so nice.
And on me, everything pulls sour on me. But I get like a lot more of the citrus with this like warm vanilla muskiness underneath. It's really nice.
Ooh, the butter note.
I know.
Wow. Butter. And clove.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to receive this one too, ladies.
I know. They showed me a bottle of Eau d'Extraordinaire because we were talking about plus passion fruit or Oud plus fruits.
Yep.
And, you should smell this. Because you wouldn't think that like fruits would go well with oud or citrus fruits especially. And
right.
Extraordinaire uses like mango, pineapple, and I think like grapefruit, I think. Mm. But it doesn't smell like an oud at all, which is the most interesting part. Like I mostly get like this really almost like a smoky pineapple.
It's
really nice. And that was another one where I was like, ooh, do I need this?
Like, that sounds so good.
But then did Europarfum send us a bunch of Rojas samples like a while ago, along with a bunch of Zerdrof samples, like the little 2 ml vibe?
Oh, shit. You know what? I think I still have a big fat ass sack of samples that they sent me that I need to go through.
Yeah. So I need to revisit that as well, because part of me is like, what? They're probably all just in there and I just haven't smelled them. Anyway,
well,
I hate falling in love with incredibly expensive things. Because
I don't.
Oh, my Lord. Very grateful to have the plug at Europarfums for this.
Yes, we love them.
Yes.
So, announcement. We are very excited. So, after we did our scent swap in December with Arabella Sicardi and our fragrance community, we've been itching to do another one. We wanted to give it a little bit of breathing room before just doing it all again, but excited to announce that the first Smellulator scent swap will be happening. Oh, shit. Sable, when is it? May 7th?
It's a Wednesday evening, May 7th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Talaya.
Talaya Williamsburg. They are literally, it's so exciting to me because they're like literally one of my favorite places in town. It's a women-owned brewery. They have, I think, like 5 locations in New York, but Williamsburg is one of the best. It's definitely one of the coolest. It's just not like any brewery you've ever been to. It's really beautiful and has a nice warm touch to it. And the beer is great. We will be meeting there from 6 to 9 p.m. for a scent swap. It's free. All that's asked is you support the business that is hosting us so generously. Buy a beer, buy a non-alcoholic beverage, of which they have many. Buy some snacks. The food there is really good. And come get you some perfume.
Yeah. It's free, except we suggest. No, like, nice way to say that.
Buy a drink. It's fine. It's community. You're supporting the community.
We've only done one fragrance swap, so we were like, how are we going to do this? But we think we're going to obviously bring a mostly full bottle of a fragrance that you bought or you have, and maybe you're just like, not for me, I'm ready to move on. Swap it for something else that you might love even better. That's basically like the entry fee is at least one bottle of mostly full perfume.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have a little dent in it. It's a free exchange, but let's be conservative with our dents and nothing else. But yeah, we're really excited. Couldn't be a better season, location, idea to all just get together. It is free entry aside from the beverage or snack that we will support the business with. And yeah, we are excited to see you all there.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited.
Yay. See you there.
We'll post info on our socials and our website. So
yeah.
Direct all of your questions there.
Oh, we are doing an RSVP of some sort, right?
Yes.
So for today's episode, we were pitched a, you can probably explain it better than I can, but the company, the technology is called Osmo, and they use AI to create fragrance. And that's essentially the elevator pitch. There was more to the email, whatever, but I kept ignoring it because I, and I think I could speak for Sable, that we're pretty sus of the AI-ification of Western civilization. And fragrance to us is artistry at its core. And yes, it can be mass produced and all of these things. And that is also valid, but let's not take the human touch and the artistry out of the genesis of this. But I sent this pitch to Sable after I ignored it a couple times. And I was like, this is a no for me, dog. But what do you think? Just because I like to give her visibility if I'm saying no to something, just in case. And she's like, yeah, we got to talk to these people because.
Number one, Christophe Ludmiel is the perfumer at Osmo. And he's a super interesting figure in the fragrance industry because he's outspoken about the industry in general. And he's like a master perfumer who's done like tons of really popular scents. So I was like, okay, like, I just think he's an interesting character.
Sure.
But also I was like, of all the people to head up this like big AI tech perfumer company, I was like, oh, how weird. I would not have expected Christophe Ludmiel to be that person. But if he is, then I'm sure there's a really interesting spin on it. So that's why I was like, perhaps we should speak with them.
Yeah. And over our conversation, which you're about to hear, I'm not pro AI. I think that we've both discussed that it, as long as I realize it's a tool and it's not going anywhere. And I think as long as it's you use it or it is used in a way that is additive, but not replacing original thought or human artistry, I think that is a maybe happy medium that I could sleep at night with. But throughout our conversation, I was really surprised that by all of the different ways that he explain that AI is used in fragrance and specifically their process of efficiency, not only with budgets, but with time and creation and perhaps opening the doors to smaller people or smaller brands making perfume in an industry that would have shut them out because of minimum orders or timelines or this or that. So again, I'm not writing for AI. Do not come for me. This is not the battle to pick with me because I do not care. But I did find this really interesting and enlightening.
Yeah, I found that interesting too, because as I've learned from trying to make a perfume, if you are not making massive quantities, no one gives a shit. So we talk about that in this interview. And when Christophe mentions MOQ, that's the minimum order quantity. That's like something he mentioned in the interview that I was like, are people going to know that?
And yeah, I tried to go back and take that, but yeah, thank you.
And that was a challenge. That was probably honestly the biggest challenge I found in making my perfume was that I had such a low MOQ. So thank you, Alibaba. But hey, if I don't have to... Now that, like, with the tariffs, we're probably not going to be able to outsource as much. Good to know that there's going to be, if not already is, an option for people who want to make perfume on a smaller scale. But, yeah. So
yeah,
let's get to it.
Hi, I'm Christophe Ludmiel. I'm a master perfumer and I create fragrances, actually, like a perfume composer. And I write formulas like you would write a poem or a sheet music. That's what we do.
I love how you explain that. And we also always kick off by asking our guest, Christophe, what do you smell like today?
Today I smell of leathery note that I'm trying to do with only plant ingredients. I want to surprise people by creating something where I say like a vegetal leather and I'm trying it. So that's what I'm wearing right now.
Nice. Love
work
that.
On it a little bit, but there's the infant stage is there already, which is very cool because very unusual structure. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. So some of our listeners might be familiar with your work, but if not, perhaps Christophe's most famous scent might be Abercrombie Fierce. But I actually became acquainted with your name with the Dead of Night fragrances. That was the first time that I learned of you. And I love those. That was my first introduction to oud, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you're talking to you today because you are the kind of the brain behind Osmo, which is...
We have to be correct. Okay. I'd say one of the important players in a new scent design studio, if you wish. And how shall I say? Computer design studio for olfaction. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, great. So for our listeners who might not be familiar, can you explain what Osmo is and what it does?
So Osmo came out of is actually a spin-off from Google Brain. If you notice Google, it's the only spin-off that Google has ever had. And usually Google does its development only in-house, Google Glasses, Google Cars, and other things. But here, Google Brain studied the olfactory system of the human brain because Google likes to see how we deal with very complex systems. For instance, for car traffic, it's a complex system with a lot of parameters. And if you go just with a logical way, you cannot solve everything, how people go about driving. It's the same with olfaction. It's a very complex system, 100 times more complex than the eyes or the ears. That's why we're about 100 years behind versus the eyes or the ears. And the big goal is, after they studied how olfaction works, there are still a lot of questions. Alex Wilsko, the now CEO of Osmo, who was the leader of Google Brain on olfaction, decided to create this company called Osmo. So Google is still a backer, and we have backers from the pharmaceutical industry because we have some health applications, wellness applications. We think we might be able to use computers soon or in a few years in a hospital, like as your regular checkups. The computer will smell maybe some things that are going on with your body, good or bad, and that would solve already a lot of detection problems and much more easily than going to the blood work lab and all that kind of stuff. Another thing we want to do at Osmo, and we are on the way of doing that, is digitalizing the sense of smell, meaning how can we have a camera of smells? Right now, we have a camera of smells. People know maybe GC mass spec, but it means you need a whole room, big instruments. You need gas in big gas tanks. You need a GC analyst, like a radiologist. You need a doctor to interpret that. You need someone to... It's a whole thing. We don't have a little camera. You walk around and then you take a signal, a picture, but that would be a smelter. And then from that, it gets stored into a memory card. And then we would like to do the printer of smells. So the printer with four cartridges, you do just about every color on this planet. Already your nose has four receptors in the eyes for the three colors and black or white. You have 400 kind of receptors in your nose, 350 plus. So do we need 350 cartridges in the smell printer? We don't know. We certainly need more than four. So we also have a team working on that. First of all, how many colors, how many orders we have to do. I would like to mention to the audience here that one of the first work we had to do was to define and describe the smells. There is no official description accepted by everybody existing on the planet.
That's something I feel like people don't think about when they think about smell because it's so personal and so experiential. But yeah, everybody must have different interpretations.
And so it's just like colors. We all have the RGB wheel. We all agree what orange is. We can debate. Is it peach, salmon, apricot, orange? Well, we can debate, but still we know orange what it is, and green and blue and red. And red means only red, and that's it. In perfumery or in smells, whether it's the smell of burnt plastic or the smell of sugar, brown sugar or whatever, we don't have an established vocabulary. So we decided to do that because we need that for the science. If you want to do the printer, it's not about making a picture that Estée Lauder will like, that too, but maybe a picture that is going to be the horror movie of perfumery. So It doesn't matter. We have to have an objective description of smells. And how do you describe the skunk smell? You cannot say it's skunky. So we defined that and we have decided to make this taxonomy available to everybody, like red, orange. We should not own that. So we are going to publish on GitHub, open source, this large taxonomy. We interviewed sommelier, we interviewed chefs, we interviewed the public, we interviewed, of course, fragrance people. So if you're in fragrances, you will recognize a lot of the words. Huh? You will be very familiar. But some families, we invented two families. And you will see, we have a lot of subfamilies, quirky subfamilies, but really to represent different types of smell in an objective way. So that was a bit academic work. I would say 30% of our time here is really academic because there's not so much research for this fundamental theory at universities. They do a lot of brain stuff for olfaction, but like you have music theory. I don't know if you had a class of music theory. You know how you analyze things and, well, there's no perfume theory class. So we have to look into this to do all these different devices. Maybe I mentioned another thing we do is to discover new molecules. like new pigments, new varnish, new bricks, new metal, new coatings, new effects. I love to see also effects. So some have different smells and some, they just introduce a velvetiness. We like to experience that in the nose too. Voilà. So we do that a lot.
Wow. Can I ask a question that would really help me set this all up from the beginning? It's, and Sable, help me out here because I can never remember what it's called. But how does Osmo differ from the technology we have right now where you take something that you can't extract something from, maybe like a like wet pavement or a wet pebble, and then a computer sort of understands those molecules and then tells you how to recreate them? How is that different, or is it different?
So exactly, I was saying we can do that, but you need a whole room. So you need that device, it's like a little bell, and then you have the pump, and then the pump, and then you inject that in a bigger device, like what they use in medical labs to analyze your blood. Then you analyze the little probe and the air around that flower. And as I say, you need a pressure tank, so some gas and that kind of stuff. So we what we want to do is that to do this portable automatic. But it's not only separating the molecules, then the software is going to give you automatically this long list of everything that is in this orchid. Okay. So I would say half of those molecules, or sometimes 70% of those molecules, we don't have in perfumery. Some have never even been made by chemists ever. Some are super complicated. Some, they're super complicated. Maybe they don't even smell. It would be a lot of work. So then you have to have a software, which we don't have right now. It's all done manually. People get this long list of everything they found. And then there would be an analyst and a perfumer deciding what is important and then how to replace what we don't have, compare nose by nose, hand by hand, one by one, and then add a bit more. I think there is that, maybe not that, but we have a similar ingredient. So all that thing we want to automize. So then we have a software to take one formula and create another formula that would smell similar with other ingredients that are available in perfumery. First of all, that are available on the planet because we have about 10,000 molecules at Osmo, more than what we use in perfumery, just for their smells to see what it is. And then they have to be used in perfumery, meaning they have to be produced, but they have to be safe. We can smell them over and over. You can smell something like once like this, it's okay. But then that you want to smell every day, then you want to put in your hand or on your hand. So this is this whole world we'd like to have automatic without having a retoucher and get the print, you see the pigment from the printer, or it's orange. No, I need to put a bit more red, a bit more red. We do all this manually between the camera and the printer. It's all done automatically. So digitally, I mean, for the vision. So now we want to do the same for olfaction, but it's, we don't know, maybe 3 years. It took 140 years to digitalize photography. So we think less than that, but we don't know, 3 years or... But
wow. Wow.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It sounds like the advancements that you're making are largely in part the ones that we always joke about, like not smell-o-vision or whatever, but like things you can do maybe through your phone. It sounds like we're getting closer and closer to that. Thank God.
Yeah. And same, will it be big like your phone, bigger or small, but then you can do only some kind of smells because big variety. Like we do, like right now, we're looking the smell of a baby, for instance. So Alex had a baby, we're looking the smell of a baby. Can you imagine the emotion behind that? So same, the molecules are used in perfumery, but in very small amount or some rarely or some, and all of a sudden now they're like constantly. So my lab is depleted from this molecule that we almost never use and now we don't have it anymore because we use it. Oh, we need to source that. And so maybe you have some printers that are better for this kind and other printers better for flowers. But of course, we want for everything. But right now, we're just looking at different pockets of things.
Wow.
And then, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's part of it because you have the generation, which is yet another story. But music has had 100 years. We're 100 years behind, I would say, music and painting and all this. So we have a lot to catch up, a lot to catch up.
Yeah. Wow. So you can recreate the scent of a newborn with just tracking.
I'm working on that. I had my nose. My nose, you know, I did the smell of the baby that is described by Susskind in Perfume, The Story of a Mother, in the book and in the movie. So he described the smell, plus I smelled some babies, and then we wanted to make sure the mothers could recognize at least one part of the baby just from the smell. So we do some work like that as perfumers, and that kind of perfumery you don't learn at school. It's very different. So I did some other, like the smell of elephants. I need a smell of elephant, young elephant, meat, normal, normal. I shouldn't say normal, in heat, truly, because I have a certain thing that desecrates on things here on the forehead. And then the elephant, the older elephant in the forest. So it's a different style. And so here we want to see, want to explore quite some things. And can you imagine the memory people will have, or the symbolism, people in war zones, it's a true story, asking us, oh, do you think you can recreate the smell that this person has lost, but it's still in that cupboard, it's still in that. It's a lot of things with perfumers. We've heard a lot of those stories. And I think it'd be cool if we can do some of that too.
So Tyne and I were reading about something called Generation. That's an offering by Osmo. Can you tell us a bit about that?
So Generation is another department of Osmo. Generation is what people call a fragrance house. For the public, I don't like the term so much because they think a fragrance house is like Yves Saint Laurent. But in our jargon, a fragrance house is more like a design studio. So imagine an architect practice. So you need architects. You need engineers. You need software. So there's very little software. In perfumery, there's no Photoshop in perfumery. We are creating that. There is no, what is it they use in architecture? I don't know what they use these days, but it used to be the CAD. I don't know if it's still that, 3D, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And and then they have a lot of other software about performance of buildings, performance of fabrics. You don't have a software for performance of long lastingness. And I want it to be more fibery, more velvety, more soft, more. There's no thing like this. So we want to do that. It's the principle of Generation. And also, we want to show to the world, basically whomever wants to listen, that people can now do perfumery, can now launch a fragrance in much more easily than before. Because before, either you go to a fragrance house, but they're very big. And so it's like going to Coca-Cola to make your own private cocktail or a cocktail for your own little brand somewhere. And then you go to Coca-Cola to ask them to do your cocktail mixture custom made, or your, they say, well, you are big. And so minimum quantity is like 1 ton or 10 tons or whatever.
Right.
So there is no place. Or you're a perfumer, but then you have to learn the whole of perfumery.
Right.
And then you make your 1 kilo in your lab, and then you sell 10 kilo, and there's no factory in the US. Very little. There are a few in Europe now, or past 10, 15 years. In the US, there are not really many at all. Where do you go? You say, even if you have a formula, I just want 5 kilo. No, minimum order quantity. So, you know, it's very difficult.
Right.
So we want to do that, make it approachable for everybody. We can do just the oil, or we can do the oil in alcohol and the bottle. We can do the dispatching. We can do the whole thing. And we have different styles of arrangements. And we work differently if it's a brand for this kind of business, a brand for this fragrance for skin is very different from a candle, very different if you want to scent your building and your hotel is very different. The technologies are different, not just the volume, but the style of creation. Mm-hmm. So we want to show, to make approachable for people. One thing that is key that people don't think about AI is also the robotics. Like our head of, I would say, logistic, and is actually coming from Tesla Robotics. For him, it's no-brainer when we say we need something that does that. When you're in perfumery, you play with pipettes. So people think it's poetic. But when you wait hours and all night longs, literally, with pipettes, I can tell you, you'd be like, oh, I wish there would be a robot that would just go clack, 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 and snail. Yeah. No, it's true. It's like 1,000 ingredients in your lab, 15 formula, and you're like this, like that. I love the lab. You would think by now there's a robot for perfumers on their desk. No. So we want to automatize also all that stuff so that people can do their most, or we do it for them, but much faster, and not making complicated to launch a fragrance, because a lot of things can be automatized.
Sure.
And, so this is also a big thing. Yeah.
That's interesting, because we were reading over the literature and there was a lot of attention paid to the speed that at which you could create something and get something to market, which obviously has its own connotations. But am I right in hearing you saying that this creates different efficiencies in minimum order quantities and like the types of people who could then get into developing their own fragrances? Because you're right, it's very prohibitive in terms of the minimum orders and just the time it takes to do so, that can all be expedited then?
Yes. So some automatic things can, first of all, because we're getting a bigger robot faster, I don't know, a whole formula in 4 minutes instead of an hour and a half or 2 hours, but whatever.
Yeah.
But so that because people don't know where to start, that will be faster, not just to weigh. So it's more also not to make the whole thing. It's like furniture. You go to someone for the past 4,000 years, you have to make it like that. And I love, we would say like Japanese or like, and I love that. So I love that too. And in perfumery, I was more, I start a next generation, I start the way I want. I can start from a formula that's going to take me, if it's longer, it depends on the project, but also I can start from scratch. I can start from the AI formula. We'll talk about that after. So you have the questions too. But the point is, there's a work on the formula. Maybe we develop on that. But then there is the weighing, the safety checks. Then there is optimization. So the software already is very good at, you want to decrease the number of ingredients, can look at different combinations. And a perfumer, it would have taken maybe 10, 20 or 100 mods. You know, when you have 50 ingredients, we know when we send the formula to the factory, we know very well that we could optimize the formula. And some, it's obvious, but it would be another 10 mods. You know what it takes to do 10 mods and the client wants to launch and you want to be done. And then it's true. So formulas, we know, drag ingredients that are not necessary. And then some, we would have never thought of a combination. So the software is already very good at, I don't want to say simplifying, because it's actually quite clever. It's very interesting. And you can remove a few ingredients, for instance. It shows you another combination that optimizes something, sometimes the strengths. The strength is not on order, but we see that. Sometimes it's on cost. And I fight for ingredients. So me, if it's on cost, it's because it optimized at least as good. So it's not to do dilution. It's not to fake some stuff. But we know also we have extra fat in formulas. If you do another arrangement, so sometimes we do it as perfumer, many times. And so far, we would do that manually. Or we would not do that. We know some formulas on the market could be less expensive. And then, or... And this I've done too with that software, or I do it myself for a long time. When you optimize the cost of some ingredients, you can put more natural or more expensive stuff because the rest now, you made a hole for the rest, depending on the budget you have. You see, there are two ways of looking at it. So the first at the end might be the same cost, but on the same price, but then you had room to introduce something very cool or more expensive. This is super good. And this is, doesn't take a long, it's not like months and months of trials, it's some days. And then the client usually doesn't know where to go for packaging when you're really new, what labeling you have to put, FDA requirements, all that stuff. So some we do, or some we send people somewhere, or there are all this kind of stuff. And then, of course, there's the beginning, the creation and that. But just the way of knowing someone can walk you through the process independent of the MOQ, so to speak. We don't want ridiculous things, but really independent of MOQ. And then, explaining every stage. And then also even big brands, I was surprised to see how even big brands are looking for faster turnaround. And one thing I think we always hear, oh, it takes a long time to do a fragrance. No, sometimes yes, and sometimes no. But there is nothing that says, I hate these things. A fragrance has to be round, has to be balanced. Balance doesn't mean round, okay? Balance means it's finished, but the balance can be unbalanced, okay? On purpose. A fragrance takes a long time. No, no more, no less than a song. So Dolly Parton created a song. She was with her friend at the table. She went to the bathroom. She wrote the song. She came back. She had a song. That happened. And then at times, you work 10 years on a song. It's the same in perfume. So this thing takes a long time? No. And a lot, like in fashion, do they say it takes me 3 years to do a silhouette? No, they take a few months, few days. Sometimes they draw like this. Me, I'm looking like this. How can they do this? It's the same. So we want to show people there are different ways of doing things.
I guess it's not so surprising to me that big brands want to make perfumes faster, because fragrance now as a category is so hot that they just want to keep capitalizing on whatever scent trends there are at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's why, or at least what I hear, I guess, as someone in the beauty industry and as a beauty consumer myself, is that when fragrance brands trot out the AI language, they like to use it in terms of like using AI to figure out what, for example, Gen Z loves and making it into fragrance, or they're collecting data on people to try and figure out what's going to be a successful fragrance. And like Tynan and I are always talking about this. And one of the big things that we go back and forth about is that, is AI more helpful in innovating new ideas, or does it mostly just recycle ideas that already exist because it's the same data sources that are informing it? What do you think?
So in my case, I can tell you that it we don't have yet the software that goes and find what Gen Z likes. They can find this, but it doesn't tie into the generation of a formula. The generation of a formula comes from the words you put or the image you put. And then now you could ask chatbots or ChatGPT or whomever you want, but this LLM chatbot, you can ask, what does the generation Z like? And then that result you could put in our software, for instance. You can do that too. And then for the data. So the data is the big question, of course. So I want to mention something first. People are going to laugh a little bit. Friends formulas, you know how secret they are, right? For different reasons. It's very secret. So try to go on ChatGPT, ask for a friends formula. There are some that are floating around. So you get a formula. I'll tell you where they are. Then you have to wait. So find ingredients. Good luck. And then, especially if you're not in perfumery or don't have a whole lab at home, find the ingredients, wait, smell it, because I've done that a few times to see a little bit what's going out there. Smell it. Tell me if it smells like the description. Then try to fix it, because usually it does not smell like the description, or it smells so boring or like water to dilute it, or the apricot does not smell of the apricot, or things like that. Because what formula do you have in ChatGPT? You have demo formulas from the fragrance houses. So usually those demo formulas smell like a sketch that we know very well. The other thing is, sorry, with ChatGPT, you're going to get formulas that smell like angel, like pleasures. So this, you can get a few. They're not complete usually, but voilà. So this is what you get. So fragrance formula from the fragrance houses that are published are to promote an ingredient of the fragrance house. So they were twisted in a way to accommodate that ingredient, totally fairness. And it's a known scheme usually. They don't show your most creative formula to put on the internet. Or some are from people that are starting perfumery. There are a few like this. So same, you have to do the, you have to sort out. And they're very defined. Usually it's not like for, they're not like a whole. They're like a course or things. And then some I know very well because I've tried some, or some people asked me to correct or to comment on them. And I had to waste some. I looked at them and some I had to waste some for people selling ingredients. And I weigh the formula and I say, but there's no way that smells of jasmine. There's not one jasmine ingredient in there. So this is a quality, unlike literature, unlike paintings, where you have fabulous thing on the internet. In perfumery, what you have is a lot of not good. And then, so I know, so the model tried to look at things like that. So I can tell you, we have a team at Osmo to clean. When you put your AI on literature, you don't have usually a team to correct the sentences that you find on the internet. Mm-hmm. They probably have some security, more not to have horrible stuff being said, but it's different from the sentences don't make sense. So here you have a team to actually correct and say, no, this is coming out, no, but this formula, we want floral, but it's coming out woody. So manually you have to say, no, that doesn't work. So it's a lot of work. Then there is some work that's public information that we entered via the analysis of market product, but same is to know, well, this is there. And I have to say the whole fragrance industry does that. However, we as a company are not there to do the copy of what's on the market and that stuff. And so many times the software pull out stuff, not often, but they pull out, when I say so many times, because it happens regularly, and I check, or someone else on the team, we have a few people from the fragrance industry, they check with us, say, Christophe, that came out, what do you think? I said, no, this is like too, this is one scheme. I know where the software found this. No, this, we have two nicks and stuff. So we have a lot of filters, and it's half the language learning on the language and half manual because of the lack of good source of things. And so here it's not even, is it ethical or not? Because the formula out there are not even like the really creative one. You don't find the formula of pleasures and Shalimar, you need more. So, well, so the data is created that way. Then there's another style of data that was created the other way. So imagine you have a pool of words, of 2,000 words, which is the ingredients we have. And then you create, you put the words in random sentence, random order. Okay. And let's say you do a random order of 5 to 20, 25 words. And you see which ones start to make sense. So imagine you have words and you make yakus. You know those little poems, Japanese poems. So you know a lot of them, they don't make, you would put the words, it doesn't do anything. And once in a while or something, it's a bit easier than poetry because there's no grammar in perfumery. So once in a while, there's a little assemblage that's like, oh, this is cute, or this is interesting. And some, they don't even smell good or ready to go. But for me, I see them as a gem, and it's totally like jeweler or like a sculptor. Some people, they find a stone and there's nothing they can do with it. They're like, no, that marmor, that piece of marmor, I cannot do anything. And then some other people say, and then they're like, and then it's called something fabulous. Same with diamonds. Some people say, no, I cannot do. And then some people would find a thing. It's exactly like that with this type of formula. So I really, this is where we are at the moment. But this is super interesting because these are schemes. You will see, we did something for Alicia. She works with us. She works regularly with us. She's ex-Miss Canada. Well, by coincidence, but she works with us. So we created a fragrance as a very good, how to say, not exercise, but like it's a real project, but like it's monitored and it was videoed and stuff. And it's one of those formulas. And then we built around, and then we built the cherry now around it and the vanilla from Madagascar to introduce so that it doesn't clash with this and that. So there's a whole thing. It's a very different. For me, I was creating like that because I always worked with very rough structure that I created and then I built them. But it's a different style of surgery. Enough, you have to do that with the AI. Yeah. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
No, we love it. We love it. We're talking, this is funny. This is an atypical episode for us because we're talking so much about data and Sable and I aren't really data girls, but I guess this is pretty fascinating. I love understanding the efficiency is it AI can help create in perfumery, but with all of this data talk, I'm wondering where does artistry come into it? Because working with computers and everything, and it knows where to pull anything you want. But what about the new ideas? And how would an actual real person perfumer with a new idea and inspiration use AI then to help bring an idea to life?
So here is, for instance, when I start a formula, first of all, there are fragrances I can make, I should say by hand or by just myself. I don't have to use. Some I can use, it depends on the project or whatever I want to do as artist. And so Osmo has never put a criteria, you have to start with at minimum this much or that much. No. Mm-hmm. And so the brief the way I want. So now you can start now the formula. First on things, you just use some molecules, some new molecules we have. So there's no AI about the structure of the formula. It's just the AI produce a new pigment and now I'm using that pigment and I want to showcase the pigment, or I want to show how the pigment is helping. It's a true story. It's helping, for instance, some natural ingredients, or mm-hmm. how a bit of natural can help the pigment, et cetera, et cetera. So this is one style. Then for the structure, for a lot of projects, especially when you have to go fast, and I use that, and I think it's true that I can start more projects creatively than I would do before. They send me some formula from the AI with one or two concepts, and not tons of formula. I hate that. I tell them, just send me one or two formulas. And then I take that formula, and then, as I say, I do some sculpture around it, or usually I need to slash some stuff in there. I do the surgery, etc. The way I want to bring the formula, and then it's my decision to remove this ingredient, another one, try this, try that. You have to have a feeling. Huh? So when I had to change the quality of vanillin, which I really do, and I don't know why, when I saw this structure that I'd never seen before, I said, you know what? That might be one example. Because I know that vanillin change was very important in the Chalimar and in the Guerlain formulas. And I was like, you know what? That might be a way, an example. That never happened to me manually before in my structures, where maybe the quality of vanillin is going to make. So I tried and it worked. So that was really fascinating for me. And then some formulas, it's more, sometimes I feel like I'll get the formula of another perfumer or of a student. And I need to do some changes. So it's a different style. And I'm like, I told the engineers, I say, your AI right now has always or often this style. Like it's a perfumer having a style. So we have to change some things so that they are. No, I think it's totally cool. And then at the end, you decide, is it too green, not green? I want another emotion. I don't want that one. So you slash, you remove, you say, I don't use this formula, I use another one. It's really, I don't know how to say. It's like a photographer. You could do... But I don't know, you could do... No, it's different because when you get a picture from AI and then you say, I'm going to change it with photography, no, it doesn't work that way. Because here, the friends, I can really dismantle and recompose. So it's more, I don't know how to describe that. I guess it's a new, unique way of using AI.
It almost sounds like a recipe and then like you get to tweak it.
Yeah, but I don't like the term recipe because... Recipe is actually even more, it's a quantity. The quantity are not as precise as in perfumery. Mm-hmm. Perfumery is like 1,000 times more precise than a recipe. And the recipe, there's a manual know-how. In perfumery, when I say we're manual, meaning it's not about physically manual, it's mentally. We are mental, manual, or mental materialist. Or a recipe, you need a physical skill. aging, cooking, knitting, or you say the doll. But in perfumery, you need zero physical ability. Mm-hmm. You don't need to pipette. Someone can pipette for you if you want. So it's really an art, like music composition. You don't have to know how to play the piano, if you can imagine. Huh? So you need how to play the piano, at least in your mind, but not physically, to compose the music. Yes, so that's why. Huh? And then in copywriting, I say also that because for copyright reasons, if one day we want to be protected, a recipe cannot be protected for other reasons, and it's not my field anyway. So mm-hmm. we are not like a recipe. You know how I compare? Imagine you put in a pot stuff so well dosed and so precise to the quality, to the 0.01%, you shake, you open the cap, and there's a whole landscape coming. You put another composition, you shake, you open the cap, and you have a whole person coming out, or a whole moment in history, or you create a whole image just by opening the caps. It's not a recipe. It's like you have to know what to put in this bottle so that there's a genius coming out that you form inside the bottle by shaking, and then there's this explosion of 3D imaginary thing that's coming that is really real. You feel it and you see it. Mm-hmm. So that's the art of perfumery.
Yeah. Wow. And I think that you mentioned, or you touched on this briefly when talking about the vanilla and with the Chalamars and the Guerlains, but is there an element of recreating elements that are either have gone extinct or are problematic to use from their natural sources? If we're thinking about like an ambergris or things like that, could the AI replicate that exactly, but in a safe synthetic way, so we can bring those authentic notes back into fragrances that we use today, but in a cruelty-free and more sustainable way?
Yeah. So we call it teleportation. So I call it teleolfaction because I think it's what it is. It's not television, it's teleolfaction. And that's maybe you saw the example of that plum, which was that automatically you have the smell of the plum. Now we're trying to do this, for instance, with a baby, but you can do that with a matcha. You can do that. It's that technology we were talking about before that we would like to simplify and make all automatic, but it's quite complicated. But yes, totally. We've also done the analysis of old fragrances. It's not because I want to relaunch something that has disappeared. No, mm-hmm. because for some people, it's super symbolic. Can you imagine if we say we can recreate the smell of that scent that they had? And sometimes the smell is at the Osmothèque in Paris, at the archives, but sometimes it's not there. Or sometimes someone has a special bottle. We don't even know what's inside. There are many applications for that. And so you could also say you could do your olfactory signature 1 year and then 2 years later, another one. And then the doctor can see, oh, there is a change here. Then we have now. There are many applications. Yeah, totally in that realm. Plus disappearing plants, plus some.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so some is not, we are not precise enough yet, I have to tell you. And that's why we don't know. Some things might take another 3 months. And some things might take another 3 years, and then maybe something, mm-hmm. another, I don't know how many years, but that's why we have all these programs. And then for each program, we have different kinds of, so we have investors for the entire company, but for instance, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation sponsors, we do a mosquito olfaction, different department, still olfaction, the same. This was for mosquito repulsion or detection, not detection, but this kind of thing. We have pharmaceutical investors because we can have some application in health, as I said. And there's so much to do. There's so much to do.
Wow. I'm going to need that mosquito repellent because they love me. Wow. In every industry, AI is like the hottest topic. I think just because it's so new and most people don't understand how it's going to be used. And I feel like, especially when it comes to anything involving artistry, there is this big existential threat that people see AI as. But it sounds like from what you're doing with Osmo, that there's a lot of really helpful applications. But I'm curious, as a perfumer, you've been doing perfumery since like way before this whole tech boom, like how do you see AI affecting the fragrance industry at large?
First of all, the fragrance industry does a lot of copies. That is very well known. Not only just dupes, just copies. There are so many babies of fears out there, babies of this.
Yeah.
It's rampant. Huh? It's like big brands. We're not talking like in the souk in other countries. No, in the middle of Paris, middle of New York, people do copies for celebrities. Everybody knows in the industry. I publish analysis of fragrances. So that work, I think, is going to disappear. Because the AI can do better already. So if you ask our AI to make a copy of something, it makes you a copy right now. And then I know the engineers, I wouldn't say I know that they can do that. I've seen it several times now. They can also make better copies, just for information. So the perfumers, I told that at World Perfumery Congress last year. If you're a perfumer who makes copies and remixes, in music they would say remixes too, although they rarely do the techno music of remixes and they do the dilution of remixes. But yes, I'm very strong on that because it's terrible. So those perfumers, they should retire because the AI can do better already to the day of today. And I'm talking real AI. I'm not talking data crunching. I'm not talking some kind of little, I'm talking an AI that is going to make you a formula and you have the formula. You can polish on the, this, it's not even doing surgery. You polish a bit here, you polish a bit there, and that's fine. Okay. So this, I guess that will help. Then if you're a perfumer, because it's a mastery, and the AI is still not precise. I don't think it can be precise before a long, long time, because you should see the type of modification we do, especially for the skin on a scent. It's extremely precise. And the AI is not there yet. And then the AI does not have emotion. So it's like poetry. Try to do poetry with AI. They write a sonnet if you want. But then there's a certain feeling that you want this way or that way. So the picture, they can do something better than pictures. It depends. Now some pictures are like really, you cannot tell almost. But still, and then once you find everything, it's still different. The difference between perfumery and music, I think that's a lot of hope for young perfumers, is that how many musicians you have, millions and millions on the planet, how many perfumers you have, thousands here and there, right? So we don't have enough perfumers anyway. And of those perfumers, the large majority did not go to a perfumery school. So it's like ballet. Huh? If you don't go to ballet school, you can become a very good ballet dancer, but you have to practice. Everybody has to do the hours, those 10,000 hours. And even Mozart had to do these 5 years intense. And everybody, Mozart, yes, a young kid, but at 3 was not playing the piano like at 8 or 10. Huh? So you have to put your hours. And the AI cannot replace that. Cannot replace that, and especially even more in perfumery. And we are going to need many more perfumers. Why? We don't have enough. And look, there are many more products coming out. You don't have big centers of perfumery. You have some, but they're not big like in Paris and New York. Why are a lot of things concentrated in Paris, France, England, New York, a bit in Germany, a little bit in India, a little bit here, a little bit in Australia, a bit in Brazil, but it's still a bit compared to Paris and New York. It should explode like fashion everywhere. It hasn't yet. Mm-hmm. You should have fragrances in every store, like you have decoration, merchandising in every store, in every gym, a gym should not smell like a gym unless you want that. But if you think of it, it's plastic, it's rubbery. You want that sometimes, yes, or sometimes no. I can go on and on. So we will need more perfumers because we don't have enough perfumers from the get-go. So I think for me, for this stage, and the AI is not precise enough for the next, I think, many years. But even Alex, the CEO, he says the flair, the story, and then the polishing, you should see. Each time you get a new quality of wood, a new quality of patchouli, even a new quality of vanillin, it's endless, endless. And the AI has to learn from thousands of mods or thousands of perfumes. We don't have, how many songs? How many texts in the world? Billions or millions? How many perfumes in the world? 6,000, 10,000, 20,000. What do you do with this? Mm-hmm. And then how many tuberoses? 500? You compare to the amount of text there is about music or about the number of poems about flowers. There are many more than you have flora, perfume. So you see, we have to create the mass. So I think we're fine. I think we're fine with perfumers. But you better know your ingredients. Mm-hmm. Better than the AI. And so there's some leeway, but you know the ingredients. And you have to know the composition. And you cannot know the composition if you don't create yourself and manipulate yourself. Even if you have an AI machine, you still have to be weighed. It has to be weighed. And then you have to smell. And from the smelling, you have to determine what is the problem in the formula. So the AI cannot tell you the problem in the formula is coming from the vanillin because it was not sweet at all. It's sweet. It was totally not about that. Because the other vanillin has a different shade of the spicy and the woodiness that then I thought would influence the patchouli. That's how it goes. So it's very complicated. I think we're fine with that. I think we're fine.
Wow.
We need to educate. We need schools. We need the industry was filtering. There's a term for that. The industry was filtering how many perfumers per year de facto would come out and would become perfumers. So a friend's house would say this, we're going to recruit only two or three this year, zero this year, one this year. But also the schools, we're going to recruit only 55. You know, the class of perfumery, it's not classes of 500 or 100. No, it's class of 25, 12, 50, but half of them, they won't be perfumers. They know already. So, No, this has to explode. This has to explode. Yeah. Perfume shows. When is the last time you went to a perfume show? There is none. And when is the last time you went to a show that was perfumed? There is no. Can you imagine in scenography, you go to a Broadway show. Where are the fragrances? Where are the fragrances? Where are they?
Yeah.
You know it. It's just, it's not taught in the theater school, and it's not taught in the marketing school, and it's not taught in the business school. So olfactory budget at Broadway, zero. Visual budget, the sets are fantastic. Yeah. Lighting budget, I mean, you've seen one projector is like $25,000.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It has to be all, it will get there. It will get there, but they need science, and they need conviction, and they need certain things that have to that are faster, and they need low volumes. Broadway, they're not going to use 1 ton of fragrance. Mm-hmm. Broadway, this, your fragrance, I don't know, 100 shows with this much perfume.
Right.
So there's no business for that. There's no business model. We have to build another business model. That's we are doing too, by the way. Yeah, I should mention that at Generation, we are also building business models. We are trying a lot of different business models to see what is okay for the client or the new adventure. It can be a museum. It can be the French industry is built on selling kilos, pounds, like the potato business. I always say that. Our business model is like potatoes. Okay, so that doesn't work when you do high-end design and you want a small quantity of fragrance to do a big impact. You cannot sell that like potatoes. It doesn't work. So, and then with artists behind and everything. So we have to change all that. So let's see.
Let's see.
A lot of big tirades here I'm talking about.
No, we love it. That's why we're here.
Nice. You have to, when these people say AI, you have to ask it, what precisely does your AI machine or platform, how many do you have? Like we have several at Osmo, and one does this, one does that. And then what precisely does it do? That's precisely, it suggests formula to perfume. You mean what? Like a full formula. It spits out 50 ingredients, 25. It spits out ingredients, real formulas, huh? And then modifications inside the formula. I don't have to do anything. It comes and another one comes. And then I critique and then I change what I want. But I'm really that. Because I know some, they say AI, but it's just... So, you have to do a filtering for that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's very complex. And I'm really excited to see all these new developments and how it can change the industry and the models for HUN.
Yeah. Definitely. It definitely creates a lot of possibility for a lot of new perfumers, a lot of existing. I can't wait to see what happens with it.
Yeah, I'm going to need that mosquito repellent stat.
I love that of all anything that we took from that, it's the mosquito repellent's what I need.
When you said that, I was like, okay, I believe in AI now.
Wow. And you're right. You said at the beginning of the episode, what a cool, interesting person to head this AI arm up, but also he is an expert perfumer. And that really came across the second our interview started. And so I did soften to it. He's not a tech guy. He's a perfumer. So I'm like, okay, good.
He's an artist first. I feel like his lens is always the artist's lens, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad we got his take on the whole thing because I feel like everything I've read about Osmo, all of the media coverage has been laced with a bit of existential despair of, we're going to clone the scent of babies now. I'm like, I don't know. But it's true. I'll believe that AI will take over the world when it can actually understand what I've asked it, because I have those Google Home Assistant devices and I'll say, play Spotify, and it'll be like, here's the weather. And I'm like, guys, humans will be obsolete anytime soon.
It's like, you're listening to me 24 hours a day. You can't decipher between Spotify and the weather, please.
It is really funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah. But no, that was really cool. I would be interested to see if brands start saying "and created with Generation" or
yeah. I wonder how much of a talking point it'll be versus not.
Honestly, I'm I don't like we were talking about this the other week, how using these industry terms is not helpful for the consumer.
Right.
You have
when you list out the notes and have the little registered mark or use the trademarked logo, I'm like, nobody, that doesn't help people understand what a smell is.
Truly, no one cares.
Yeah. So I feel like when people say made with AI, sure, maybe it's, I don't know, a marketing point of interest to a niche set of people, but like genuinely, I do wonder how people will react to that.
Yeah, agreed. If I know this is just like the very baseline of what it could do, but if you were to pick one inorganic or unextractable note that AI was to replicate, what would it be?
Ooh, inorganic. Oh my gosh. That's a hard one, man, to just spring on me cold like that.
I love to know.
The first thing that came to mind was printer ink. I don't know why, but that's literally just the first thing that came to my mind was that I like the smell of printer ink.
Wait, I think Comme des does a scent with toner in it.
Comme des Garçons has been my one like white whale, the most elusive brand that I've never had access to.
Yeah.
Unless I guess buy them.
I think my notes would be a true sour gummy worm or wasabi.
Oh, wasabi.
And I'm sure there's a wasabi note out there somewhere, but like I want, yeah.
I'm sure there, yeah. But like getting the effect, that like special effect, how can you do that?
Yeah. Like just buy mace.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Hey, remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember a while ago.
I don't remember anything, Sable.
I don't know if it was like made by Apple, but somebody tried to make a scent of like new MacBook smell.
Oh.
It was like one of those like gag scent that wasn't sold. It was just like done as an experiment. But I wonder what happened with that or how they.
I don't know.
Anyway, new tech smell.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No. So, yes, before we sign off, see you next week, but also see you May 7th at Talea for our scent swap. Can't wait to see you. Until then, you can visit our website to shop our cozy merch and leave us a voice note that we love so much. The website is smellylater.live. You can smell it. You can follow. I'm struggling, girl. I'm so hungry. You can follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. You can follow me at Tynan Buck.
Little tooth, take
Jesus Christ. And then until next time, let's smell you later.